Welcome back to Amerisogyny. I'm your host, Hannah Bloom. You're listening to episode 57, Give and Take. Today, we're going to talk about givers and takers. Give and take is mostly used as a reference to relationships, but that's comparison on a micro level. On a macro level, people give back to their communities or they sow seeds into others. And what I mean by sowing seeds into people is you can share knowledge with them, you could support their business, or it could be something as simple as paying for their groceries or paying a bill for them. But it's not always about money. Be very cautious and wary of people who only talk about giving when it pertains to money. In my opinion, those are undercover takers. As long as you're giving them money, you're cooler than a winter evening in their book. The minute you don't have it, they have no use for you. Stay away from these people. Personal growth doesn't come from people like that. Now, takers, that should be self-explanatory. These are the ones who, when they open their mouths, they remove something precious. It could be racial harmony, respect, self-esteem, or positive vibes. The stories I'm bringing you today features givers and takers, in my opinion. But I'll let you, the listener, judge for yourselves what you think they are and decide if they inspire you to promote change within yourself, your community, or the world. Yes, you listening to me right now, you have the power to make an impact in the lives of others. So let's get into it. Our first stop, Sydney, Australia. The giver in this story, Inspector Amy Scott. A man went crazy at Westfield Bundy Junction Shopping Center and killed 6 people. One of the victims was Ash Good. She was 38 and a mother to a beautiful 9-month-old baby. She protected her baby from the stabber by throwing her to another person. Ash was clearly a good mom and a hero. She died protecting her baby. And Inspector Scott is a hero as well. She shot the 40-year-old suspect in the chest. And she received praise for acting so bravely in the line of duty. She was praised by Jason Dixon. Dixon said she had to shoot him because he just kept coming. He had a knife and he wasn't going to stop. He was advancing at her and he was running, coming to get someone else. I'm glad she got him because if she didn't, he would have stabbed her too. Inspector Scott was also praised by Assistant Commissioner Anthony Cook, who said she showed enormous courage and bravery. And thank God Inspector Scott wasn't injured. And according to insiders, she's doing quite well. We send our condolences to all of the families who lost their loved ones. And we congratulate Inspector Amy Scott for doing a fine job in protecting and serving her community. That's how you give back, people. Our next stop, Taiwan. I have a lot of respect for good nurses, and 3 Taiwanese nurses deserve their flowers. When an earthquake hit Taiwan, they jumped into formation and protected the beautiful babies in their care. Now, this was caught on video, and the 3 nurses jumped up and gathered around 10 cots and held them together as the building shook. Now, these are the kinds of events I like watching on social media, and we need more of them. One user wrote on Twitter, "Taiwanese nurses protecting babies during an earthquake. This is one of the most beautiful videos I have seen today on the internet. Hats off to these brave ladies." Another wrote, "Many videos show the impact of the earthquake that struck Taiwan on Wednesday. I found this hospital one especially touching, showing nurses rushing to keep all of the babies safe. Life is fragile, and they're doing all they can to protect the most fragile ones of all. Bless them. According to the BBC, the maternity unit nurses were worried that a nearby window might shatter and injure the babies. Now, this earthquake was no joke. At the time the story aired, 9 people were killed and over 1,000 were injured. And almost 646 people were trapped in hotels. And this was absolutely devastating, but the silver lining are 3 courageous and compassionate nurses who stood on the front line to save 10 tiny babies. Congrats to you, ladies. We're sending you lots of love and honor from the United States. Let's take a detour to social media to talk about a couple I absolutely love, Russell and Sierra Wilson. The love, admiration, and respect they have for each other is the gift that keeps on giving. Sierra just gave birth to a beautiful baby daughter, Amora. They also have Sienna, Wynn, and Sierra's 9-year-old son, Future Zaire, whose father is Future the rapper. I love this couple. Not only do they love each other, they love God, and they make sure He's first in their marriage. Russell told media his faith in God is the key to his happy marriage. He said, "When I asked her to marry me, once she said yes, I said, 'Before we go do this, can we pray? I want to make sure we always put God at the center of it all.'" And so I think the thing that hopefully exudes from our love is that, listen, love is never perfect, but we continue to try to put God first and pray over each other. We have these 4 beautiful children that we get to raise every day, and it's the greatest gift in the world. Now, over the years, some people have loved to clown Wilson for being a great husband, but that just shows how miserable and toxic they are and lonely. But more than a few root for this lovely couple. On Twitter, someone said, "This is the kind of man I want." And another said, "A man who prays over you and put God first." Yes, please. They met in 2015. Russell proposed in 2016, and they married a year later. I don't usually praise celebrities, but I like Sierra. She seems very down to earth. Before meeting Russell, she remembers telling a friend she wanted a God-fearing man. She said, "I remember telling my friend the kind of guy I wanted, a God-fearing man with a very fun spirit who loves kids and would really, truly care for me. Marriage is something I look forward to. I believe in family and the beauty of 2 people committing to spend their lives together." It's so refreshing to see a committed, monogamous relationship. No matter what the world tries to get you to believe, monogamy is not dead, and it's not boring. When you connect with the right person, beautiful things happen. And Russell has also been an amazing stepfather to Sierra's oldest child. He talked about meeting Sierra's son on the I Am Athlete podcast, and he said, "When I walked in the room and I saw, you know, little Future, he's 9 months at the time or whatever, he crawls in my lap and it was like, you know, this is going to be my responsibility. I remember leaving that night and God said, saying to me, 'Raising this child, it's going to be your responsibility.'" He calls raising his stepson a gift. According to Wilson, his faith in God keeps him grounded and inspires him to be the best version of himself for himself and his family so that he can inspire others. That is a giver. He came into Sierra's life not to take away her self-respect, her peace, or her joy. He came to restore it. I do hope this story inspires you to never give up on love. And to never settle for anyone who isn't worthy of you. Good men do exist, but you have to be ready and open to what they have to offer. Shout out to Russell and Sierra, a couple who is definitely blessed by God. We wish you nothing but happiness for the rest of your lives. Our next stop, still on social media, folks. Now, this next story is a horse of a different color. Now we're going to talk about takers. Kay Michelle says she doesn't want a crying man. She got on Instagram Live and said, "I just don't want men to cry because then I don't feel protected." Now, I don't agree with her, but I'm not going to tear her down. And we need to get out of that, tearing down people for having differing opinions. You don't have to agree with someone. If you don't like what they say, respect it and keep moving. Now, the person she was speaking to off camera said they thought men should be able to feel vulnerable with their significant other. And while Kay Michelle agreed, she said she didn't like seeing them cry. She said, "I think men should be able to cry and be vulnerable. But for some reason, once they cry, you know what happens to me? I turn into the man." The person off camera asked her if she still had a problem with her man crying if there was a death in the family. And she says, "I get it, family. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about like if something don't go their way, like cry. But like if someone die in your family and things like that, I just don't want men to cry because then I don't feel protected." And some people on social media felt she was out of line. There's nothing wrong with men crying. We need to get out of this perpetuation of toxic masculinity. If you've listened to me for a while, you've already heard me say there is no one definition of masculinity. If a man cries, it doesn't mean that he's less of a man. Crying has no correlation to the strength or weakness of masculinity. And some of the commenters advocated for men crying. One said, "Real men cry. It's nothing wrong with it. It don't make them weak or less than." Hence her being 60 and single, said another. That's why she's single. Now she's actually 42, not 60. I think the commenter was being sarcastic. But another one said, "You should be there for your man. They have emotions too." And another said, "Funny enough, as men, we are all well aware there are some women who feel like this, but I'm gonna put this here anyway. Stay away from anyone who is like this." Now, I'm going to give my thoughts without sounding like a pick me. And if you don't know what a pick me is a woman who is willing to disrespect fellow females to win the respect and approval of males. I'm not a pick me, but I do believe in advocating for the mental health of men, not just women. Male mental health is just as important as ours. This is my opinion. I don't want some man walking around who never cries. To me, that's not a human being. That's a machine. Now, there are some things I agree with Kay Michelle on. She thinks cheating destroys partners and families. I agree. She also thinks that Black women should date outside of their race. I also agree with that. But a man crying, that doesn't bother me. Crying doesn't make a man soft. It means he's a human being with emotions, and he should have the right to express emotion whenever he pleases. And that's just my opinion. Our last stop. Now, this is a state that listens to us frequently, Indiana. This next woman I'm going to talk about is a taker of respect for others, a cultural vampire who sucks every last drop of racial harmony out of life. She's a white supremacist, and she just put Indiana State University on the map, and not in a good way. It seems this woman was pissed off that Beyoncé's country album hit number one on the charts. So she got on TikTok and said, "I'm sorry, but if you're Black, you're not country. I don't care. I wish I meant that in the nicest way, but babe, I know you were raised in the country, or your grandparents were, but they was picking, okay?" And she means picking cotton. She's referring to slavery. She also added, "They wasn't planting, just keep that in mind. They wasn't making money. They were getting sold for money. You ain't country. Now, I'm sure a lot of ignorant racists feel exactly how she feels, but they're not stupid enough to jump on social media and say it. Although I will say this, TikTok does nothing about racism. TikTok's platform is very racist, and if it goes, I won't be sad. Here's what's scary. She's a nursing student, and we've talked about how Black people are treated by the medical community on this podcast. She's a prime example as to why some Black people do not trust white doctors or white nurses. Because of racist, biased ideology that they bring with them on the job, and it impacts a lot of lives. Her video has impacted people as well. People called out how dangerous it would be if she entered the medical field with white supremacist views. And make no mistake, racism is a public health crisis. I wouldn't want her taking care of my family members. Now, Indiana State University has students who are mostly white, but there are some students of color. I was happy to see students Black and white protesting her video by organizing public demonstrations on the campus. Students walked around shouting, "Hate has no place here. Silence is violence." And they were protesting against the school because they felt it wasn't taking enough action against the student and her racist views. One educator posted on Twitter, "Learning that my talk with students at Indiana State University inspired them to take direct action against their administration for their lack of care in dealing with a racist white student's TikTok video literally has brought me to tears." Nadia Lomax is a protest organizer, and she told media, "We're here to make sure something like this doesn't get swept under the rug again. The damage that occurs because of that, the lack of university response, is that students are told silence is okay and that they don't matter." Now, the video was originally posted on Yik Yak. This is a social media app for college students. Although the school issued a statement, students felt that wasn't enough. They wanted Indiana State to condemn the video and have the student face consequences. My opinion, they should kick her ass out. Because to keep her there is silently condoning and approving of her racism. And that should never be. Not in any school in this nation. It is 2024. It is time we stop coddling and protecting racists and hiding their hate behind the First Amendment. Free speech doesn't give you the right to be racist towards others. Daryl Morton Jr. is the president of Indiana State's Black Alumni Network. He said, "What I would like to see is ISU come out and define what their policy is on hate speech. It should be defined." I agree with him. And Indiana State felt the heat. One day after, the university issued a statement saying it was taking the incident seriously and was committing to ensuring a welcoming environment for everyone. The university's president, Deborah J. Curtis, also made a statement and said, "We want to provide further emphasis on the commitment of Indiana State University to promote a supportive environment for all our students. Upon learning that a racist video from an Indiana State University student was posted online, we immediately worked with the vice president for student affairs to identify the student, although they're not naming her, communicate directly with student leaders, and strategize how to prioritize student well-being and safety. Racism, hate speech, and discrimination of any kind is deplorable and in direct contradiction of Indiana State's mission, vision, and values. The students' comments in the video in no way represent the ideals and goals of Indiana State University. We are appalled by the sentiments expressed in the video and condemn those comments in the strongest terms. This video impacts the entire campus community, but it deeply affects students from marginalized groups. Make no mistake, We hear you. We see you. We support you. We have been and will continue to work for you. We are aware of the rampant misinformation spreading online. It is crucial to emphasize, under federal law, the privacy of students, due process, and actions taken by the university and its employees cannot be shared. As a state-funded institution, we operate and respond within the guidelines established by state and federal law. As the semester ends, please know that your well-being and academic success as a student are of the utmost importance to us. Sincerely, Dr. Deborah J. Curtis, President of Indiana State University. Yeah, they're feeling the heat. In the 1940s or 50s or 60s, and maybe even in the 80s, no statement would have been made. But in 2024, it's a new day, and people of color are no longer tolerating racists or their agendas. She doesn't have to like Beyonce. She doesn't have to like her country album. But what she does not have the right to do is make vile, hateful comments public. She can say that in the privacy of her own home and no one would care. But when you bring it out to the open, we're going to respond. She's a taker, and her right to be educated should be taken away. She should never be allowed in any university in this country. The last thing this country needs is another ignorant, racist nurse. Nurses are supposed to be compassionate and caring to every patient, not just the ones who look like them. Absolutely disgusting behavior. And it's fine if Indiana State can't make it public about what they're going to do to her. Just kick her out. Make an example of her. So anyone who thinks like her will think twice before they hop on social media with their bullshit. Well, folks, I've given you stories on givers and takers. I'd love to bring you one more story, but I'm out of time. If you learned anything from this episode, feel free to follow me. By now, you know where. Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and the number one podcast streaming service I'm seeing on my feed, Samsung. I'm happy to see that a lot of people are using Samsung Podcast. And what also made me happy, the list of new countries that have joined the Amerisogyny Podcast. Let me give you a shout out real quick. Amerisogyny welcomes our listeners in Hong Kong, Jamaica, Yemen, Trinidad and Tobago, Chad, Nigeria, Taiwan, Tanzania, Honduras, Nicaragua, Mexico, Haiti, Cote d'Ivoire, Algeria, the Dominican Republic, Burkina Faso, and Uganda. We welcome you. We're sending all of you lots of love, and I hope you continue to tune into Amerisogyny every week. Well, folks, the weekend is coming up. Be easy. Take care of yourselves. Have a great weekend. And as always, God bless.